Near FM. The Week in Review with Declan Ralph. For stories you haven't heard anywhere else on the radio this week.
90.3, this is Near FM. Hi there, I'm Declan Ralph. Welcome along to The Week in Review. Now, as usual today, I take a look at the stories that affect us, but you won't have heard much about them anywhere else on the radio this week. I'll feature stories too about people and groups that you may know or are interested in. Indeed, you might even be involved with them. And of course, I'll have a look at the local stories that affect you as well. Now, if you'd like to get involved in the show or you'd like me to feature something on the show that you are interested in, well, you can contact me right now by text. You can text 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500 while the show is on the air. Or you can get in touch at any time on Twitter at NearFM, at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review. Now, coming up shortly, the local stories with Ken. This week, people in North County Dublin have lost complete faith, apparently, in the Metrolink project. Sort of a related story. Cycle routes beside the Lewis removed from new plans. Sticking with the travel theme, Ken is on a roll today. Clontarf to Connolly cycle track and bus lane project cost $62 million now, up from what the original estimate was. Will the grass be greener on the other side of Dicey Riley? And will the grass be greener for Kilmore Celtic? Ken will be along in a moment with all those stories. Far beneath the big oak tree, another world awaits. It's the Wonderground, and a new night has just begun. Now, what is Wonderground? Wonderground is an unforgettable music adventure for children that combines mesmerizing original music and song, captivating puppetry, and the epic adventures of Badger and Rabbit as they embark on a daring quest to save their home. Now, I won't give it all away. It's co-produced by Kyole Connected and the National Concert Hall in association with the Pavilion Theatre. It is supported by Dreacht Arts Centre and funded by the Arts Council. Its musical director, Thomas Johnston, talks to Ken in about 10 minutes' time or thereabouts. Now, just after that, at 1, Sarah will be here to take a look at the local events taking place over the next few days. And Sarah is also going to chat to Julie J. Julie J and Sarah are going to talk about the fact that stand-up comedy is back, and what a better way to enjoy it than as part of the wonderful Seen and Heard Festival at Smock Alley Theatre in Temple Bar. Seen and Heard celebrates new theatrical works and ideas, and this year it is taking the theme of Let the Magic Unfold. And as I said, comedian Julie J is going to take to the stage at the festival next Saturday and Sunday night, the 12th and 13th, to treat audience to Oops, This Is Toxic. Now, I'm really looking forward to hearing that conversation. That will be at about 1:15 or thereabouts. Also, we'll squeeze in before we finish some local jobs and volunteering opportunities that are available for you. And we take these from the activelink.ie website each and every week, and there are literally hundreds of opportunities there available. Local stories with Ken Kilbride. Afternoon, Ken. How are you?
Hi, not too bad, yourself?
Good, Ken. Yeah, all good. You've got a little bit of travel-related stories going on in the first two or three stories here. Tell us about the first one. People have lost faith, lost complete faith, no less, in the Metrolink project. It has been talked about for a long while, all right, isn't it?
Well, indeed, I say the first three stories, I know they're all travel-related, but I'm actually calling this my outrage section. And so people in North Dublin have lost faith in the Metrolink project, and the Rockers Committee has heard, as it emerged that the project will not be completed until 2035, and that's all going well. Say the project was first promised in 2005 by the then government in the Transport 21 plan, and when the revised plan was announced in 2018, it was scheduled to be operational by 2027, which we have reported on before. But the state agency in charge of the transport infrastructure has indicated that it could be delayed well beyond that. So the Chief Executive of Transport Infrastructure Ireland, Peter Walsh, told the Public Accounts Committee that he hoped the government approval would be granted in the next 2 months, and then a submission will be made to One Ball Planana in the second half of this year. And he said that while the planning process is out of their control, and if there is a judicial review, it will add a period of time that we cannot determine. After that, there will be a procurement process taking 2.5 years, followed by 8 or 9 years of construction, he said. So again, Mr. Walsh also said that $83 million had been spent on the project since it was rebranded from Metro North to Metro Link in 2018, when the preferred route was announced. But however, Social Democrats co-leader Catherine Murphy pointed out that the figure for Metro North provided by the National Transport Authority under a Freedom of Information request was actually 165 million, in addition to the 83 million. And she has said that nearly a quarter of a billion euros has been spent without a single shovel having gone into the ground. And so, yeah, it's coming down the track, but it's a very, very long track.
It is indeed, Kenny. It's a long, long track, all right. And I'd forgotten it was rebranded from Metro North to Metrolink as well. I'd forgotten that bit. And I'm sure that cost loads of money as well, in even the rebranding
indeed,
bit of
I'm only guessing, but I'd say the nearly 250 million is not a consultancy.
Now, as I said, a couple of travel-related stories here on your outrage section, as you said. The cycle route beside the Lewis removed from the plans. Which route are you talking about?
So this is we've mentioned this route before. So this is the Sting Lewis route. So they did have a plan to put a walking and cycle path along the side of the track when they were putting it into the Broombridge station. However, the aforementioned Mr. Peter Walsh told a public committee this week as well that there'd been a change in the amount of cycling in the provision of the Lewis signal project. And I'd like to award Peter our quote of the week for that one. And you know what we're saying is it's gone from some to zero, and so a change in the amount of cycling in the walking provision, while technically is correct, and really doesn't get the full extent of what it's all about. So good work there, Peter, I think.
Okay, and you've been an avid cyclist. This is something that will I can see how you'd be outraged and disappointed with all that happening. Now go ahead.
No, this one, I mean, I have been a cyclist, and I've mentioned Joe Braking, but you know, I'm a bit concerned about this one, to be honest.
Yeah, cycle track and bus lane project cost $62 million, and it was priced at $20 million 3 years ago. How did that happen?
Basically what happened, we're talking about a 6 kilometre cycle track, bus lane and water mains between Clontarf and Connolly Station, which they was priced at $20 million 3 years ago. It's now to go ahead at a cost of $62 million. And so a segregated cycle route which will connect the city centre with Dublin City cycle path that runs along the coast to Clontarf or Sutton, and it's proposed a decade ago at a cost of $7 million. However, the project has been beset by delays and underwent several redesigns, including one necessitated by a protest in 2017 over plans to cut down 50 trees in Fairview Park. I'd say more than 15,000 people signed an online petition at the time calling for the retention of the trees, which were planted in 9,980, and Dublin City Council subsequently amended its plans and saved 42 of the trees. However, in 2019, the council published revised costs of $20 million following design changes and the decision to include extensive water mains replacement and new sewage systems in the project, as well as the link through Fairview Park as part of the Tossie Valley Greenway. So in June 2020, the council said it intended to seek contractors for the project in weeks of construction to start in early 2021. However, in October 2020, it said it had to redesign the scheme again due to failure to reach funding agreements with Irish Water and the refusal of the National Transport Authority to sanction bush diversions during construction. The council said the project would now go ahead and include the water main works at a cost of $62 million. The project would include 5.5 kilometres of bus lanes, 6 kilometres of cycle tracks and 8 kilometres of footpaths, as well as the replacement of 6 kilometres of old water mains. And so again, I think there's going to be, you know, it's great. It's not a red carpet, it's really a gold carpet for cyclists.
Very good. Now, where the grass is always greener on the other side, as we know, but will the grass be greener on the other side for Dicey Riley? Please explain.
Well, we very much hope so. It's been an emotional week for Malahide United. It has marked the official retirement of Tony Dicey Riley as the club's groundsman. And they're saying, yeah, Dicey has been a fixture in the club for as long as anybody can care to remember. He's been a player, a manager, the groundsman, and the chief of our Nipper section. And he's hugely well known, a hugely respected figure in Irish football community, and has been the face of Gannon Park since his inception. And Dicey has had a massive influence on all the players who come through our schoolboy and schoolgirl sections, and indeed some of them have gone on to bigger and better teams with the first team squad. And they actually won the Leinster Senior League for the first time in club history last year. And he's always been a friendly face when the Irish team were in Gannon Park and helped the Irish players and management feel at ease when they're preparing for games. And the same is not all bad news in that Dicey will be staying on to help the youth section, and he'll be there on Saturday morning sharing his love for the game, his brilliant stories and one-liners for the next generation of players. And so again, congratulations to him. Hope the retirement goes well, and he's not fully leaving the team.
Excellent. Yeah, fair play to him. The best of luck to Dicey, Tony Dicey, as you said, Dicey Riley. Now, will the grass be greener as well for Kilmore Celtic?
Well, we certainly would hope. We've had this debate on the show whether Tulloch Lane or the Oscar Train Road, but a lot of people will be familiar. So this is the patch of green when you're heading down to Northside Shopping Centre. And so very recently, the club's five pitches on the Oscar Traynor Road were absolutely destroyed by a stolen car. So the vandals opened the gate with an angle grinder, drove the stolen vehicle around the pitches and destroyed many of the newly marked playing areas. However, the communities rallied around to make sure that the local children were not denied the chance to be able to play on the pitches. So coaches, parents and volunteers from the area cleared the space at the back of the ground and marked the pitch so that the three teams could play. As you say, we'd like to thank all those who got involved to help and support us. The three games are just under nine friendly, but remained extremely important in terms of showing to the club and sort of giving a sign that we're not going anywhere. And the damaged pitches still need a few weeks to recover. But the club wanted to thank the Dublin City Council and particularly the Parks Department, and said they've been great. They flattened it, they put down sods, they're doing great work on them. What things you would have to do in January, they'd be absolutely brilliant. And say the club is progressing up the LSL ladders, and they've been talking to Dublin City Council about a flat track approach for an all-weather pitch in the area. So they're saying they've been there for 32 years. They've had problems in the past with scrambling, things like that. So it looks like everybody's going out, give them a hand, and the show goes on.
Yep. The show must go on and the football must go on and the grass will come green again, and we're coming into spring, so the grass won't be long growing, is right. Thanks a million, Ken, for the stories today. You're staying with us. We're going to take a short break for a little bit of music, and you're going to talk to Thomas Johnson, the musical director from Wonderground, that great children's adventure, in just a couple of moments. So thanks for that, Ken. 90.3, this is Near FM, and that was Elton John and Daniel. Welcome back to The Week in Review. It's Declan Ralph here with Ken Kilbride and Sarah Birmingham. Don't forget, if you would like to get involved in the show or if you'd like me to feature something on the show, well, you can contact me right now by text to 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500. While the show is on the air, the text line is open. But you can get in touch anytime on Twitter at NearFM, at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review. And Ken is back now. Hiya, Ken. Welcome back to the programme. And Ken is going to have a chat with Thomas. So what are you going to chat about, Ken?
Hello, thanks.
Now I'm going to have to try and get Ken maybe on a better line there. It's not so good. In the meantime, I'm going to chat to Thomas. Hiya, Thomas. Declan here. Ken's line there is not so good. He is a little bit crackly, so we'll have to try and get him back. But in the meantime, maybe we can chat on about Wonderground. You're very welcome to the programme, and thanks for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you very much, Declan. Delighted to join you on the RFM.
Thomas, tell me a little bit about Wonderground. It sounds intriguing, and I'm already hooked, and I don't think I'm the target market.
Well, I think you'd enjoy it just as much, Declan, as the children that will come along. So Wonderground is Kjol Connected's newest production for children. Kjol Connected, I'm the artistic director of Kjol Connected. I'm a musician myself, and I play the whistle and the Illan pipes. And at Kjol Connected, we bring together brilliant artists, puppeteers, musicians, visual artists, set designers to create very beautiful, immersive, joyful, magical productions for children ages 3 to 7. So Wonderground, we have been working on over the past couple of years, when we could, over the pandemics, and thankfully we're about to embark on a 12 venue tour of Ireland. So it's a very beautiful, immersive show that tells the story of rabbit and beetle and badger who live in the magical world beneath our feet that we call the Wonderground. And the show takes children on a musical adventure through the Wonderground and up into the Wonderground, where badger and rabbit try to solve the mystery of the water, or what we call in the show the Wishka, that has strangely disappeared. So we really, really try to create a very beautiful, immersive, magical experience for children and their adults. I think when adults come along to our shows, I think they enjoy them just as much as the children. And music is at the heart of what we do at Cool Connected. It's sort of in the name, do you know. So we've got a great team of musicians and puppeteer and a whole cast and crew going on the road now with the show.
Yeah, you must be looking forward to that side of it as well, given lockdown and actually reconnecting with audiences as well.
We cannot wait, really and truly. We absolutely can't wait just to have that experience of being on stage and connecting with children that are there, so that we can have that shared experience. You know, we've really, really, really missed it, and we are just so excited to get out on the road to visit the children in Dunleary at the Pavilion Theatre, onwards to Drake. We're heading to Dublin, Kildare, Sligo, Clare, Roscommon, Mayo, Louth. You know, we're heading all over the country, but we're kicking off. The show premiere is next Saturday the 12th at the Pavilion, so we're really excited. It's been a long time coming, you know, for the artists that we work with, but every musician and artist up and down the country ready to get out and do what we do.
Indeed, yeah, absolutely, yeah. It's great to get that sort of I suppose feedback from a live crowd and see the looks on their faces and so on. Tell me, out of whose mind did Wonderground come?
Well, I work very closely with the wonderful set designer and puppeteer Emma Fisher. So we co-created the show, but the sort of little seed of an idea came from a book that I remember reading as a young child that told the story of a beaver in his underground world, and it sort of stuck with me. And I used to love the animals of Farthingwood when I was a child as well. So a lot of the work of Cool Connected is really connected to nature and really seeing the extraordinary and the ordinary and that beauty and magic that sort of surrounds us. So the little spark of an idea sort of came from my own childhood, and then I very much work in collaboration with other artists to bring those ideas to life. And the work that we do wouldn't exist if it weren't for, you know, the collaboration aspect of puppeteers and musicians and lots of others coming together.
That's great. And did you find, I mean, that creativity that you spoke about there and the collaboration, and we talked about, you know, coming out of lockdown and all that, did you find that the lockdown was good for that for you or challenging? How did you find that period?
It was hugely challenging, you know, but we really did try to keep things moving and keep the art and the work alive and connect with young audiences when we could, you know, in terms of working online and workshopping online, and venues also were really, really generous, you know, up and down the country in terms of welcoming us in to continue working and devising and creating when we were allowed to, even though we mightn't have had an audience in front of us. So in lots of ways it was really challenging, and in other ways I think it allowed for us to work in different ways and to think about how we could maybe change how we work and connect with our audiences in different ways. So, but for the most part it was challenging, but we plugged on through, you know, to I suppose just keeping in mind that magical experience of connecting with audiences, you know, that was hopefully coming down the line in the not too distant future.
And you say they're connecting with audiences and, you know, all of that. It must be a challenge to connect with a 3-year-old.
It is and it's not, you know. I suppose there's a huge amount of research and thinking and devising that goes into the show so that it really connects with where a young child is at, a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old. So what we do I suppose for years and years before setting up Joel Connected, that is 10 years old this year, I would have devised workshops with very young children for years and years, music workshops. So I got to know the needs and interests of children of that age, so that we can create this experience in the theatre that really, really holds them, and that really creates that sense of wonder and curiosity and magic. So we do find that the show is 45 to 50 minutes long, which sounds like a long time to hold a 3 or 4 year old in that space, but that's what we do. And they're a very refreshing audience to work with, because it's not like a show or performance for adults that will sort of sit there regardless. You'll soon know if you're not connecting
exactly
with children, because
Tell you straight. They'll tell you whether you're good or bad.
They'll tell you straight up.
Absolutely,
and we wouldn't want it any other way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and they'll, as you say, they'll look away and do something different. Is there an environmental angle to all of this at all? Given the sort of green, underground, rabbits, sort of wildlife. Is there any environmental messaging or angle in the whole thing?
There is, but very, very subtly. What our shows never really do is sort of bring messages across too strongly or in that way. It's subtle messaging around, really. I think what we can do when we work with children of that age is just bring to life the beauty of nature and the how wonderful it really is, and how we can really respect it and connect with it. And I think that's a first step. So I suppose there is a subtle message there, but it's wide open to interpretation from the children that come along. But the story is about that secular, I suppose, how nature moves and changes, and how we need to respect the environment and live with it. You know, those subtle messages are there. But at the heart of the show, it's a fun, joyful, magical experience. But it can be unpacked in that way, by parents, potentially, or teachers that come along.
Yeah, and that whole audience that you have there. I mean, we talked about connecting with a 3-year-old, but you're also obviously, they don't come on their own. Their parents are with them, or teachers, or whoever it might be, bringing them to the program. But you've obviously cleverly been able to use the whole program you have, and it's interesting to see that the arts can be used to bring the generations together to enjoy something, because I mean the parents have to enjoy it as well.
Absolutely, yeah, and we're lucky across this tour we have both family shows. So for example, in the Pavilion, it's a Saturday show, and then in Drake, that's coming up later in the week, it's a school show, but obviously parents can come along with their younger children, if they're at home. It is that lovely space where adults, the parents or guardians, and their children can find a way of connecting, maybe in a different way than they would at home or at school. It's very much that shared experience, and really and truly, I always go out into the foyer after show and have a chat with the children and the parents or school teachers, and from the adults will always say, I didn't want to leave. It was so calm, and I feel so relaxed. And that's the sort of atmosphere and environment that we create in the show, so that the adults in the room really do enjoy it. I'll say as much as the children, that there's different things to take from it. In particular, in relation to the music, there's incredible musicians in the show, and we really just hope that adults will come along and enjoy it as much as the children.
Yeah, well, look, everybody has put a lot of effort into it, from your own Kill Connected through to the National Concert Hall, and then all the venues, the Arts Council, all the venues that you're going to go along to. So, you know, you're really have a lot of effort put in. So you've whetted our appetite. Yeah. You've certainly whetted my appetite for it. And I'm, as I said, not necessarily your target market. Just remind us again the opening night, and tell us how people can get tickets to go along if they want to as well, just before we finish up, Thomas.
Sure. So the opening, the premiere is at the Pavilion Theatre, who have been part of the co-production of Wonderground alongside the National Concert Hall, and supported by Drake also, and I have to mention, and you mentioned it there, with the support of the Arts Council, none of our work would be possible without that funding. So just want to say that also. So show opening on Saturday the 12th of February at Pavilion Theatre, and we've two shows that day, 11 o'clock and 3 o'clock, and then we're touring the country from Kerry to Mayo to Carlow to Portlaoise. And if you want to go on Kill Connected's website, killconnected.ie, the full tour is there. And if you want to check us out on social media, at Kill Connected, all of the updates of the tour, some behind the scenes, you'll see little clips of Badger and Rabbit and Caterpillar and Robin and all of the creatures. Great. Live in the Wonderground and the Wolverground are there. So
brilliant.
We look forward to seeing some of your listeners, Declan.
Thanks, Thomas. You're very good. Thanks a million. That's Thomas Johnson there. He's the musical director of Kill Connected, telling us all about that fabulous, mesmerising Wonderground, an unforgettable musical adventure for children and for adults too. Now, coming up in the second half of the show, Sarah will be here shortly with all of the local events that are happening, and great to see that we have events actually happening for real in the real world at this stage. And also after that, Sarah is going to have a chat with a lady whose name is, and it'll come to me now in just one moment, because I always can't find it when I want it. Her name is Jay. Julie Jay, isn't it? It is. It's Julie Jay. And Julie Jay is going to talk about stand-up comedy coming back as well, live and in front of real audiences. So all of that to come on The Week in Review.
This is Mirrors FM.
The Week in Review with Declan Ralph, for stories you haven't heard anywhere else on the radio this week.
And welcome back to the programme. Don't forget, if you'd like to get involved in the show, or you'd like me to feature something on the show that you are interested in, well, you can contact me right now by text to 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500 while the show is on the air. The number is live. Or you can get in touch at any time on Twitter at NearFM, at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review. Local events with Sarah Birmingham. Afternoon, Sarah. How are you?
Hi, Declan. Good to be here, and fantastic to have so many different events and exciting festivals and things happening now again. So glad to be able to chat about a couple of those today.
Yeah, it's great. Now, the first one you have for is that you are is about the is in the Lab Gallery on Foley Street in Dublin One, where there's a hive of activity, you say.
There is indeed. I like this one just because I guess it's all about promoting emerging artists, so visual artists, in terms of an exhibition, I suppose people would think it does. And this particularly is exhibiting the works of 7 recent female art graduates. It's in a new festival that they're hosting there at the Lab in Dublin One called New Beginnings, and it's going to display the art of 7 artists who each take a different approach to painting and who come at their work at different ages and stages in their lives. So it's really now kind of an apt time, I guess, for thinking about new beginnings, and they all have a real kind of creative and vibrant energy, and they're really embarking upon their careers in art and bringing new things to audiences now. So it'll be exciting, I think, to check that out and to see what it's all about. The exhibition is running there at the Lab until the 12th of February next weekend, and it is forming part part of Dublin City Council's Bridges Festival, which we chatted about last week. There's lots of different kind of pop-up events happening as part of that, and this particular one is happening from Monday to Saturday, 10 o'clock to 6 p.m. and as we like to say, admission is entirely free. If you search the Lab Gallery, that's probably the easiest way to find all the details, or you can pop down there to Foley Street, Dublin 1, and they'll be able to help you out.
Brilliant. Now, the last few days, it's all been about Joyce, really, but you've got something about Beckett.
Well, sure, look, yeah, we'd have to compete, I suppose. There's all that competition on Twitter and whatnot at the moment about what we name the Air Force, and whether it's Joyce, or I think Samuel Beckett might have a thing or two possibly to say about that. But this particular event is an audio cinematic experience, is how it's described, and that sounds intriguing enough before you even consider some of the works of Beckett. What is the Word sees some of Ireland's leading actors present a curated collection of Samuel Beckett's work in what sounds like a real feast for the senses. The collection grapples with the struggle to express feelings, and that's a theme that's been present in Beckett's early works, but which then kind of was sharpened by his own lived experience of illness and that struggle to navigate that and to, you know, maybe talk about kind of how he was feeling, what he was experiencing. It's a 50-minute production, and it's produced by Emma Cohn and supported by the Arts Council and Dublin City Council. And it's running at the Museum of Literature Ireland there at Stephen's Green from 10:30 until 6 p.m, Tuesdays to Sundays, until the 27th of February. The tickets there are priced at just €10 for adults and €8 for children, students and over 65. In a nice and warranted addition to the price list as well, I thought it might be nice to call out frontline healthcare and retail workers go free there as well. So
wow.
I think something for everybody, and that's a nice touch after the last 2 years. And
isn't it?
Lots,
yeah.
Lots of intriguing works happening at exhibitions and kind of galleries and those kind of spaces at the moment. So that particular one, All About Beckett, is at the Museum of Literature Ireland, and it's What Is the Word. You can find out all the details there on moli.ie.
I went in to see Molly, or the MOLI, recently. It's a fantastic building, a fantastic space. It really is. I don't know if you've been in yet.
I haven't, and it's on my list now for sure. Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like a nice kind of artistic kind of space, as you say.
Yeah, it is. Lovely garden at the back, nice coffee shop, all of that. Things that you would expect.
Brilliant.
As well.
Yeah.
Now, another fantastic space out in North County Dublin is the Seamus Ennis Arts Centre out in the Knoll, and it is staging some activity as well.
It is indeed, yeah. So Ardán is the Irish word for stage, and I think an appropriate name for a new series of concerts that they are going to be staging there at the Seamus Ennis Arts Centre in the Knoll, which is going to see rising female Irish traditional music stars take to the stage over a series of concerts. Tonight is the turn of Circa Costello, Kate McHugh and Elaine Riley, and they are going to gather at the venue there, where their performances will be hosted and curated by musician Louise Mulcahy. The Seamus Ennis Arts Centre, it's lots of activity happening there again, and it's really focused on developing the next generation of traditional artists. So this is your chance to catch these players, and I guess to say that you saw them before they were famous. Circa's a traditional Irish fiddle player from Tulla, County Clare. She was named Cultur Olga Blina, our Young Musician of the Year by TV4 at their Gradham Kill Music Awards last year. Kate McHugh is billed as one of the most outstanding young piano accompanists in Irish traditional music today. And Elaine Riley is one of the foremost tenor banjo players of her generation and is highly sought after as a performer and tutor. The three are playing there evening, so you want to hop on that quickly if it's of interest to you to get your tickets. They are priced at just €13, but they do say that booking in advance is essential. The best thing to do there is go to TSEAC, and that's the abbreviation of the Seamus Ennis Arts Centre, tseac.ie, and if you click on the What's On tab there, that'll bring you to where you can get your tickets for that.
That sounds like a good night out, and you say you want to act quickly there if you want to get to see those up and coming artists. Now, last week you spoke about author and former Irish Times environment editor, Frank MacDonald, and he has just published a new book on the future of Dublin. But you're giving the opportunity now for people to go behind the headlines at Trinity and have an input into the future of Dublin City Council's new development plan.
That's it. Yeah, I think an interesting one, and one that I'm sure we'll follow in some way over the next couple of months and years. But we did have a good chat with Frank last week, who is indeed the former Irish Times environment editor and a very vocal advocate for, I suppose, positive kind of planning in Dublin City, and in terms of looking at what the future of the city looks like and what we want it to look like. So this event, of course, as you mentioned, James Joyce there, comes just to coincide with the 100-year anniversary of Uilefase, and also on the eve of the publication of Dublin City Council's new development plan 2022 to 2028. So it's going to, I suppose, be under the spotlight at this special event taking place at Trinity College, which is going to ask what's next for the capital's civic future. Can Dublin citizens look forward with confidence to the future management of the city, or have recent controversies around the development of Dublin's civic and cultural spaces, and we think of some of the conversations that have happened around the likes of the cobblestone bar and the quays and the work, development work, I suppose, that it's know, has been the subject of some controversy and compounded suspicion perhaps that corporate interests you know, may at times come before the public good. What is it that we must sacrifice in that aim to be sustainable and to have a sustainable city? I think this will be an interesting discussion, all about the planning of Dublin, so perhaps possibly for fellow nerds like myself, but a good strong panel there. Professor David Dixon, Dublin City Council Chief Executive, Owen Keegan, who himself has been very much foremost in a lot of these conversations, socialist and musician Owen O'Canavan, then for a slightly alternative view perhaps, and others as well, and they are going to discuss and explore the future of Dublin's design, I guess, really, and what it needs now, and what it needs to do in order to maybe become or return to being one of Europe's greatest cities. This talk is going to take place in the long room there in Trinity College from 7 until 8:30 next Wednesday evening, the 9th of February, and you can get your tickets for that or find out more about it by searching Trinity Long Room Hub.
Now, St Patrick's Cathedral has had many events and many things happening there over the years, but nothing probably as exciting as what's going to happen next Tuesday night.
Well, certainly not considering how I'm sure some of the music and the singing and everything there has had to be certainly quieting down over the last 2 years. I think this is going to just be an explosion of music and sound now on Tuesday night, the 8th of February, and it's going to see a concert taking place to celebrate the composer John Williams' 90th birthday. It's going to feature many of the biggest blockbuster tunes and hits and music of the last 50 years, and they'll be performed on the Cathedral's mighty Willis organ. And I know we've spoken with some of the guys from St. Patrick's before around the fabulous kind of instruments and possibilities that are there in terms of music, and this particular one, the set list is going to feature hits from movies including Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Jaws, Superman, Home Alone, Harry Potter, E.T., the list goes on. Williams really has been central to composing some of the most instantly recognisable and popular themes in the history of film. So if that's something that whets your appetite, you might be interested in going along to St. Patrick's Cathedral.ie, where you can get tickets for that. It's going to run from 7:30 until 9:00 on Tuesday, and tickets there are priced between 10 and 20 euros. That's St. Patrick's Cathedral.ie.
Now, a new production is set to open at the new theatre in Temple Bar, all about the events of Bloody Sunday and their aftermath.
Yeah, sure. So I think this one is going to give people maybe a little bit of a reflection on the time, maybe, as you say, an unseen perspective, or maybe people will be coming with their own perspective on it. Obviously, it's still in our quite recent history, and it's going to be the subject, I guess, of this new work, One Para, which will play at the new theatre in Temple Bar until Saturday the 19th of February to coincide with the 50th anniversary of Bloody Sunday. This play is set mostly in real time during one of the most significant events of the Troubles. So it places you right there, and it tells the tale of a young paratrooper, Scarif, and his experience on that fateful day in the Bogside in January 1972. It offers an insight from both the British and the Irish Army's perspectives, and it gives a contrasting glimpse of the contemporary procedures and processes that were at play in both armies. For anyone interested in recent Irish history, the play offers a dramatic snapshot based around the life of one particular soldier with an interesting sort of blended background. So I think, slightly different work, but certainly if you're interested in history and in, I guess, relatively modern Irish history, it might be one of interest to you. On there at the New Theatre in Temple Bar, 7:30 from Tuesday to Friday evening coming, and then there's a matinee at 1 o'clock and 2:30 on Saturday as well. Tickets for that are €20 and they're available from thenewtheatre.com.
As usual, Sarah, thanks a million for looking at the events that are happening locally for us. And you're going to stay with us. We're going to take a short break for a piece of music from Dean Martin, and but you're going to chat about stand-up comedy and the fantastic news that it is back and better than ever with comedian Julie J. So stay with us for that. And welcome back to the programme. It's the Week in Review here on 90.3 Near FM. I'm Declan Ralph. I'm here with Ken Kilbride and Sarah Birmingham. Sarah, welcome back.
Thanks, Declan. Yes, absolutely.
Great. So, Sarah, you're going to chat now to Julie J. So tell us about that.
Yeah, well, Julie is one of many performers about to take part in the very exciting Seen and Heard Festival at Smock Alley Theatre in Temple Bar. The festival celebrates new theatrical work and ideas, and this year I think there'll be nobody for taking it for granted, but the festival itself is taking the theme of Let the Magic Unfold. And Oops, This is Toxic is one of the works that has certainly caught my eye. It's going to be presented at Smock Alley Theatre next Saturday and Sunday night. And to find out a little bit more about what's in store, I am delighted to be joined on the line now by Julie J. Thanks so much for joining us, Julie. And yeah, it certainly sounds intriguing. How do you marry Clinton's Trousy Snakes and Britney Spears into one work?
Oh, how am I going to do this? Is a big question. Well, I'm super excited about the festival. I cannot wait. I am so ready for this. And I am really thrilled to be bringing this play to Smock next week as part of the Seen and Heard, which is like this absolutely amazing festival. And I'm so delighted to be part of it. Like, I guess what's really interesting about this play, so it's actually my first play. So I'm a stand-up comic. Okay. By career, and then career inverted commas, I mean wishful thinking on my part, but I'd like to think of a stand-up comic.
Not at all. It was a very intriguing piece in the Sunday Independent last week, I know, where you were speaking about volcanoes, and you know, obviously in your house being married to comedian Fred Cook as well. I can only imagine you're right there in the centre of the epicentre of comedy.
Yeah, so it's definitely it's a lot of comedy in our house. So this is a bit of a deviation for me. It's definitely comedy, but it started out as like really a love letter to Britney Spears. So I am this absolute super fan. It's, you know, one of the first things that people know about me is that I'm just mad about Britney Spears. So interestingly, I actually originally wrote this 2 years ago, and then obviously this was pre-COVID, and I was supposed to be bringing it on tour and all that kind of crack. And obviously that got stalled, but it's now become a completely different play. So since then, it really became something different, which is essentially kind of an examination of 90s noughties misogyny. But the device is, it's kind of framed as a love letter to Britney Spears. So I'm essentially contrasting and comparing my life with Britney's. And so there's definitely comedy there for sure. But then also, I suppose there's moments where, you know, maybe darker moments as well, and kind of maybe more surprising aspects where you would think, like, obviously I would have nothing in common with Britney Spears, but maybe I had a bit more in common than you would think.
Which is really interesting, because she's certainly someone who grabs Irish attentions. I know I saw a tweet recently where there had been an announcement around Britney Spears, and I think a nightclub completely just, you know, paused, and it was like activity was suspended to hear about the latest developments like that. And you're someone as well who really harnesses the power of social media through all your TikTok commentary that's kept us going over the last couple of months. You know, how does it feel now to be taking kind of your work to an actual live venue, I guess?
Oh, I can't wait, to be honest. I think for social media, you know, certainly before COVID with comedy, I think there were kind of two camps. There were people who were really comfortable within comedy and social media, and then there were other people like me who maybe weren't as comfortable with it and were much happier on stage. Like, for me personally, I feel I am a much better comedian on stage. I just don't think my stuff translates as well on social media. So to get back and get gigging is just really important, because I feel that's where I really come alive, and that's where I am at my best, is on stage. I mean, the social media now has been great in terms of keeping the show on the road, and all of that kind of crack. And it's, you know, we've really seen some amazing emerging talent online within the last couple of years. But I guess, you see, I'm a bit of an old one, so I still can't work TikTok and stuff. So it's the technical side, I think, really can let me down sometimes, and I get very bogged down in it. So it's great in one way, but for me personally, I just can't wait to get back to the stage as well.
Oh, I think there's definitely something for audiences about getting back into sitting down and the lights go down and the show begins. And, you know, you can have the social media stuff, obviously, and we all have different levels with that. But it doesn't, for me anyway, it doesn't replace, or it could never replace live theatre like that. You know, people would like to go along then to Is This Is Toxic. I know it's worth mentioning that you're going to be travelling, bringing this wider than Seen and Heard afterwards. But where can people find out all about this thing?
So I have my website, judyjcomedy.com, and of course you can get tickets. I have the link on all my social medias, Twitter, Instagram, it's judyjcomedy, and obviously on Seen and Heard as well. And I'm going to be putting the show on next Saturday and next Sunday, and then I'll be touring then. But Snock is going to be like the premiere. So if you can come along, would love to see you.
Absolutely. Look, I think you've certainly whetted appetites there. I know I'm going to be getting my tickets when it's on in Wexford, I think, a little bit later on in the year. But
people will be a little bit jealous
of everyone getting to see it premiered in Smock Alley in the next couple of days. So, yeah, absolutely. Check out Julie J and to say it is so good to have live comedy back. And thanks so much for joining us just to give us a little flavour and whet the appetites for that.
Not at all. Thank you so much for having me. Thanks, Amel.
Thanks so much, Julie. Thank you.
Bye.
And thanks a million to Julie, and thanks, Sarah, as well. And Sarah, we talk to you next week.
Looking forward to you, Declan. Thanks.
Well, now it's time to let you know about some jobs and volunteering opportunities that are available locally. I take these from the activelink.ie website, where there are literally hundreds of opportunities. And this week, in fact, there are 37 requests for volunteers and 350 job offers, believe it or not. Now, the volunteering opportunity I want to make you aware of is one from Alone. As you know, Alone is a national organisation that works in communities locally right across the country and here in the north side of Dublin as well. They strive to enable older people to age at home safely and securely for as long as they wish to do so. They also work with older people, including those who are lonely, isolated, frail or ill, homeless, living in poverty, or are facing any other difficulties. Now, they're looking for support and befriending volunteers, and they're looking for you to commit to 1 hour a week for 1 year. Now, if you'd like to find out more about the opportunity or to start the application, well, you can visit their website, alone.ie/volunteers. alone.ie/volunteers. So the job opportunity to highlight this week is a local one as well. The Northside Traveller Support Group was incorporated under the Companies Act in February 1988 with the trading name of TravAct. It started as a small group of community-minded individuals from both the traveller and the settled communities, and has grown over the years. They pride themselves on the very high quality of services that they bring to the local community. Now, they are looking to recruit people to their sessional youth worker panel. And the panel will consist of 3 to 4 sessional youth workers who will be periodically called in to provide necessary support in delivering youth services in conjunction with the permanent youth staff in TravAct. If you're interested in that, you can only apply by post. They say they won't accept any email applications. So you need to pop in the post 3 copies of your CVs, including names of 2 referees, a detailed cover letter explaining your qualifications and your experience and your interest in working within a traveller-specific community development organisation and why you feel you'd be suitable for the roles. And then send them to the manager, Northside Travellers Support Group, trading as TravAct, and you send it to TravAct Outreach Centre, Clonshock Drive, Priorswood, Coolock. That's Dublin 17, and the air code is D17HK27. That's D17HK27, and the closing date is the 21st of February. Well, believe it or not, that's it for this week, for the Week in Review. Thanks a million to all our contributors to the programme today. And as always, if you want to get in touch, well, the best way to do that is on Twitter, at NearFM, at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review. So, from Sarah, from Ken, and myself, Declan Ralph, we'll all be back at the same time next week, 12:30, Saturday lunchtime. See you soon on the radio. Bye for now. Bye bye.